to Sweet Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is Sentinels of the Multiverse Oblivion. And I have one of the masterminds behind the game himself. I have Christopher with me today. How's it going, Chris?
Going very well, and yourself?
Good. Well, you know how it's going with me right now. I mean, the people don't know that, you know, before we started recording, I had so many tech issues, and Christopher was so polite and kind to stick around, and so we're grateful to have him on the show. Once again, we've had Chris on the show before talking about Spirit Island when that Kickstarter came out and the success of that. But Christopher, why don't you tell maybe possibly some new listeners and maybe forgetful ones about a little bit about yourself and your guys' company.
Sure. My name is Christopher Bedell. I am the co-owner of Greater Than Games and co-designer of Sentinels of the Multiverse, as well as many other games. Sentinels of the Multiverse was our first game. Is a cooperative superhero card game in which 3 to 5 players play against a terrible villain in an ever-changing environment. And we put out a good amount of products for that, and the Kickstarter we're running now is to end the multiverse, is the final Sentinels of the Multiverse product. So,
awesome.
Very exciting time.
Well, I'm excited for it, too. So let's just jump right into it. So the Kickstarter, I mean, right now, I'll just say, like, wow, the success that you guys are having on your Kickstarter is fantastic. I mean, you're well successfully funded. You have almost 6,000 backers for this game, and you guys still have almost pretty much a month left to go on the Kickstarter. That's insane. That's awesome. So congratulations.
Thank you. The Kickstarter from the first minute was just ridiculous. We hit the launch button at 10 a.m. on Tuesday morning, and then just kind of all stared at our computers with our jaws dropped. Like, it was
as the numbers just kept coming in. You're like, oh, all right.
We asked for $40,000, and we had talked about it in the office. We're like, okay, listen, we've done Kickstarters before, and we're pretty good at Kickstarters. Additionally, Sentinels of the Multiverse is a popular product. A lot of people like it. We have a good feeling about this. That $40,000, we were pretty sure that there was a chance the Kickstarter was going to fund. We might even fund in the first week. And you know what? There was a chance that we'd fund in the first day, but none of us thought that we would fund in the first 8 minutes.
I know. That is insane. It's so awesome. And, you know, you've gotten to this point where you're just like, oh, man. And you're like, now I have to have all these stretch goals and I have to add all this extra content in, which is awesome. It's really fun that you're able to do that. But it adds a lot of work onto your guys' shoulders, for sure.
It does. But it's fortunately all, like, this is the best way. Since we're ending this product line, I can't think of a better way to end it with this, you know, massive outpouring of support from the fans and us being able to make all these extra exciting things. It is ridiculous to talk about a million-dollar stretch goal, except that we are, as of today, 1 week into the campaign, and we have over $800,000.
I know.
So, yeah.
It's possible. It's going to happen.
It is very likely to happen at this point, given the fact that we still have 24 days, and the final 48 hours are always big. So, which is good, though, because, I mean, people have said, hey, do you have a $1.5 million stretch goal? Do you have a $2 million stretch goal? And you know what? I don't know where this campaign is going to end, but regardless, the $1 million stretch goal is our last stretch goal, because we sat down on the first day and said, okay, guys, we had a stretch goal chart on the Kickstarter front page that went up to 100,000, and we had a quote-unquote secret stretch goal chart that we had made for that went up to 200,000. And we were like, okay, if the Kickstarter does really well, we'll be able to publish this up to $200,000 stretch goal. By the time we posted a stretch goal chart, the Kickstarter was over 300,000. So, like, we had to restructure things and we had to come up with some more things. But we did all that on day one. And we said, okay, guys, this is, like, one thing that is true about this Kickstarter is we promised everybody we'd have them their rewards by January of next year. Anything else that we add to the Kickstarter beyond this point here will just make us fail at that. It will make it so that we can't give the people the thing we promised. It will increase production time and production costs, and it will reduce quality. And that's not a thing any of us were interested in. So
definitely. Well, for those that are unfamiliar with what Sentinels of the Multiverse is, why don't you explain a little bit about the game and how it works?
Sure. So Sentinels of the Multiverse, as I said, is a cooperative superhero card game for 3 to 5 players. Each player has picks a hero, and the heroes, it's not a deck building or deck construction sort of game. Rather than each hero has their own unique deck that full of their powers and abilities and equipment and things like that, devices. So every hero has their own complete story and their own complete set of skills in their deck. And each of the heroes plays very differently, and they're all a lot of fun to play. But the real gem of the gameplay is when is combining those heroes together. So it's like, okay, if I'm playing this type of character and you're playing this character and another person is playing a third character, the thing that those three characters can do between the three of them that they couldn't do alone is what really makes the game shine. And then you're playing against a villain, and there's tons of different villains to play against, each of them with their own terrible plots. Of course, you can win the game by knocking out the villain, and you can lose the game by being knocked out by the villain, but many villains have alternate win and loss conditions based on the story of what they're doing. And then the game also takes place in an environment, which is a deck of cards that represents where you're playing that has all sorts of surprises. Some things that are good for the hero, some things that are bad for the hero, some things that are good for the villain, some things that are bad for the villain. It all depends on the environment, depends on what card you draw.
Awesome.
And then over the course of the game, there's a lot of information that will be changing based on what the villain plays and what you draw and what sort of strategies you and your fellow heroes come up with.
That's cool. And so with the villain, is that you're playing against the game, or does someone play the villain?
The game is totally cooperative. Nobody plays the villain. So the way that it works mechanically is the villain has a character card that has all sorts of text explaining how this villain does what they do, when they do damage, when they draw cards, when they play cards, etc. And then they also have a deck of cards. So on the villain turn, first you check to see if there's any start of turn things. Then you turn over the top card of the villain deck, doing whatever it says. Then you check their character card, do any other things that are there. And that's the whole villain turn. And so the villains are kind of this pre-programmed AI that the changes in what they do come from the randomness of the villain deck.
Definitely.
And then after the villain turn, each of the heroes take a turn in turn order. Then the environment gets a turn where you turn over the top card of the environment deck and do whatever it does. Some of those cards go away immediately. Some stay in play and have some sort of ongoing effect. And then you're back around to the villain turn.
That's cool. So we know that this isn't your first rodeo to Kickstarter, for sure. But seeing the great success that you guys are having on this Kickstarter, and you've also had other successful Kickstarters, is there advice or any tips that you would give to aspiring developers and designers that want to get their game funded through Kickstarter?
Sure. Have a really popular game and then Kickstarter expansions for it. No.
Make sure your game is good.
Yeah, well, that is great advice. The big thing that I would suggest is that the reason that this Kickstarter did well, and really our first Kickstarter that we ever launched was a Kickstarter for the first expansion of Sentinels of the Multiverse, and that did very well for us. Because there was at least some buzz already out there about Sentinels of the Multiverse. We had released it at Gen Con. We didn't kickstart the original game. We made it and released it at Gen Con. And then when we went to Kickstarter for the expansion, there was a lot of buzz from Gen Con about, hey, there's this game that came out of nowhere that people are really enjoying. And so my advice to you is, if you're going to run a Kickstarter and you're like, oh, I've got this game I'm working on, and in 2 or 3 months I'm going to run a Kickstarter. Great. In those 2 or 3 months, talk about that game. Talk to any sort of media people that you can get the ear of. Get on BoardGameGeek and write up some designer diaries. Make a website for your game and just talk about your game and get that information out there. Because you want – Kickstarters are interesting. Kickstarters are kind of like movie releases, in that if they don't have a really successful start, that will determine the kind of the life of the rest of the Kickstarter. So you need your first 24, or really your first 48 hours to be big, which means you need people that aren't just looking around on Kickstarter that run into it and go, oh, this is cool. You need people that are waiting for the Kickstarter. You need people,
exactly.
Once it launches, people are, oh yeah, I've heard about this game and I'm so excited that it's now available.
Definitely. So it's essentially creating greater awareness and networking, getting your own network of people that already know about it. So whether they are friends, family, or people that you've met at conventions and stuff like that, having that big network, and then when the game launches, you know, it gets a lot of people backing it already, which gets it, you know, up in the ranks in Kickstarter, so it gets seen more, which also helps in the first, you know, hours of the game. So, yep, that's what it's about. It's about exposure and awareness of the game even before the game gets to Kickstarter.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're thinking about launching a Kickstarter, later this year or something like that, my advice to you is to somehow get yourself to Gen Con. It's okay if you can't have a booth or something like that, but get to Gen Con and go hang out in the tabletop areas and bring a pile of flyers with you and just play your game with as many people as possible. Because there's people walking around Gen Con looking for something to do, and you never know who's going to sit down and play that game and what they're going to say to their friends. At Gen Con, when in 2011, we had a little 10x10 booth in the back of the hall. We had that game with no sort of press, but just being at Gen Con got us so much more attention than any other sort of marketing could have done.
Definitely. That's awesome. Well, Christopher, thank you for being on the show today. As we said, you know, having a crazy successful Kickstarter can be crazy, you know, busy. And so we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come on the show to let the listeners know a little bit more about Sentinels of the Multiverse. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Definitely. And let people know where they could find more out about Greater Than
Sure.
Games.
Sure. You can find more out at greaterthangames.com. Also, you can find us on Twitter at GTGamesLLC or me personally on Twitter at GTGChristopher. Also, if this is going up sometime in the next 24 days, Sentinels of the Multiverse Oblivion is still on Kickstarter. If you Google the word Oblivion, that's Obliveaon, so like Oblivion and Aeon combined.
Exactly.
This is the only result. No one else has ever used this word for anything else. So
there you go. Original.
Yeah, right. There you go.
That's awesome. And you know, the show will be up like today,
oh,
I believe.
Great.
So
fantastic. Barring any other technical difficulties, I don't want to.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So once again, thanks, Christopher, and thanks for the great products that your company brings out to everybody and the enjoyment you bring to all, of course.
Oh, thank you, Barry.
Yeah, and thanks to Dan Patrice. He's Dan the Board Game Man. He created our intro and outro, and you can find him at thegeekallstars.com. And remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.